Apologies for slightly late to start. I was just processing.
Not accepted.
Not accepted.
Apologize to me. Apologize to God.
I'm apologizing to God. God understands. Hashem, the idea there is a concept of a slach lanu that you have to do tshuva for.
For tshuva.
No, for the fact that you could have learned and you didn't. B'chulu. But life's very busy, and the war has been on our minds since it began in Simchas Torah. Like Hashem. What?
Oh, wait, what is this?
That's good news.
What's that?
Some sort of coffee. There was no coffee cup. So, if there was, it had been used. So, Simchas Torah. Yeah, it's funniest possible.
Let me see this picture.
Whatever. Look at that. My Haredi days.
Wow, that's Haredi.
Haredi.
You wouldn't even take your hat off for the picture?
No. I have the craziest passport picture. I look like a proper terrorist. Because what I did is I took my pears and I twirled them. And they became stuck really hard on the side, like pointing out like this. And I've got this pale, pale face because I was like never sleeping and stuff. And I looked like a proper terrorist. It was Gewaldic. And every time I showed it it got to the point where the flight people, the security would just laugh because it was like so silly. That's more like, a little bit more normal.
No, that's more normal.
That's more recent. But I was not normal. And I'd bedafka like do stuff like that. But without being a dafkanik, I want to just thank Hashem publicly, the fact that Baruch Yitzhak Ben Masha did 4.5 months or more of army service in Gaza. First few months in North Gaza, the second few months in Khan Yunis. The last Kufa was in the northern Khan Yunis, dealing with the new tunnels, cleaning out houses, arresting terrorists.
Wow.
Even found an Arab family yesterday that shouldn't have been there. Was hiding still, like
in the tunnel or in the building?
In some of the buildings there.
Why are they hiding? Whatever, it doesn't matter.
Put himself
so
in danger.
So when's he getting out?
And he's out. We got a call at 4:35
in
the morning today.
That he's out.
And I was just like buzzing from that time. Like my wife's, you know, being emotional, even though she's very appreciative, but at the same time, she's processing, like, as a mother, like, have I got everything ready? I didn't really know for sure he was coming. I only found out last minute. I would have been more prepared. I'm like, no, you weren't meant to be more prepared. This is great news. Let's just go with it, you know?
Yeah, when's he coming? How's he getting home?
He has a special techis today, like a celebration techis, because, you know, the Sanchanim probably did more army service than any other unit, as far as I know, unless maybe there's a higher. You know, I don't know about like the Makal or one of the biggest, you know, like Yalom or I don't know, whoever. Maybe there's somebody else. But as far as I know, what was publicized, Sanchanim did the most amount of army.
His whole unit is out?
And the whole unit. Not just his whole unit. The whole of Sanchanim. That whole.
So are they done now with Gaza?
Bridge of the army. Yeah, officially.
Or we're pulling
out
of Gaza?
Maybe they'll publicize it on the media. But they're out. Sanchanim is now officially.
They're not going back in.
In terms of the soldiers and the family out of Gaza. Now, will they go back in? Yeah, I think that's. There's still what to do. I mean, he was on a call the other day. There was still fighting going on. There's still what to do there. Who's going to take care of it? Bainatime, I'm sure they have other units that can do it. But Sanchanim officially like have now done their duty in Gaza, and it would just be a mission base, I think, unless there's going to be a new position in up north, which is, you know, we don't know. Everything's very unknown. The fact that he's coming out, we didn't know. So emotionally, it is hard for people to process that they're in, they're not in, they're out. So Baruch Hashem, we still got Rosh Shlomo's guitar here, so we should maybe do a little song. Should we do a song? I don't know if it's Asa to take his guitar and play it.
It might be.
You know, you can get to your brisker guy, you met Hanukkah, he can tell you.
Yeah. He can tell you, right.
Yeah. It brings all the svaras straight in the.
Amir the Akam is
Either way, Chasda Hashem, Bochatadi Nai, the Hainu Melech Olam Shakoni Boy.
Amen.
You can say Shalom Asani Yeshivish, whatever it is. Yeah, we have to thank Hashem. We have to work through the
I had to work on my Midas Tovus when that happened.
Yeah, we have to work on ourselves. We have to mochu. You know, I was listening to very big Mahanchim, Ravari Jacobson, obviously, and then this sort of Shimon Russell. Very impressive.
He's really excellent, yeah. Shimon Russell.
And very real. I'm very impressed how real he was. Very, like, real with his advice and how he, you know, I had a vibe. My wife always says, you listen to so much podcasts, why hasn't it rubbed off on you at all? And it's true. Because he's kind of things really should rub off on me. Yeah, he's very good with the youth. You know, he said he learned most from his children. His children were his mentors.
We actually one time reached out to him.
Which I would say the same with my kids, yeah.
One time reached out to him because, like, my kid, when we were in New York, we were nervous about the
system there.
The path that he was going in, the system that he was in.
I mean, he's great now, so.
Yeah, we reached out to him, and he told us, he's like, I'm really sorry, I have a 1.5 year waiting list.
No way. Yeah. That's crazy. Also, on a good note, other good news is, so Baruch Hashem, you're here, and Mamela, you got the help, obviously, or whatever, Hashem helps. My uncle did his event last night. I'm very happy. It was, from what I saw, it was a success. And some people in England are interested, hopefully, for other opportunities. So just, you know, like Hashem's opening up doors, even when things are challenging sometimes. You feel like a bit overwhelmed in life. Your son's in the war. You know, Panasa's not like it was. Like, you start feeling a bit, and then suddenly things start to open up a little bit, you know? Like, you see some rays of light. You see how Hashem is showing his love in a revealed way. And we have to really appreciate it and adam for more gilui of Hashem.
Amen.
So we dealt a lot in Tanya. We're learning the Holy Tanya.
Before we start the 11th, let's just...
Yeah, we should do summaries before
this
last, we start.
No, just this last little snidbit. I think we
the Siddiqim?
This is last part.
B'nai Aliyah.
Shteim Olam.
Oh, I like this.
Kana
yeah.
Echad. Yeah, we kind of... I felt like at the end, we just...
Go on in. You lead the way.
For by the means of process of refinement through refining, their animals in from the klipas of Naga, ma'alim mayim, mayim nukvim.
Yeah, mayim feminine waters.
Ma'alim mayim nukvim, feminine waters are elevated.
Yeah, because they're from below. Yeah. They come from below. And I mean, this is the ideal, you know, the way the world depicts everything so disgusting. The Panemius says the Mayim Nukvim come from below, and the Mayim Dukvim come from above, and there's a yichud between them. Arousal from below, Arusa de Latata. When you hear all these concepts, this is partly what's going on. On a Panemius level, there's a yichud between the lower waters and the higher waters, and that's what brings together, you know, this makes the unification. That's what Hashem wants, and most importantly, it's the Deacon B'nai Aliyah one. They want what Hashem wants. They want to do chesed to the Koine, to their creator. They want to bring the yichud of the Shekhinah into the lowest of places, to the lowest of souls, the lowest of the Bria. They want to bring the Rotzen Hashem everywhere. That's their Rotzen, because that's Hashem's Rotzen. Because think about it, Hashem made everything, loves every yid, every soul. So he wants his gilui in the whole of the Bria, but he wants us to choose it. He wants us to have a kinyan. So we become
so deep. This is deep, but
yeah, so
there's a lot to understand here. Not about the actual, not the actual Otsuko, but what all this actually means.
Oh, this is Kabbalah. This is basically, he says you have to go learn Chassidus if you really want to. Because there's lots of Maimarim about this concept.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, what does it mean? Water, Mayim, Mukvim, Mayim.
Yeah,
I can understand the whole
feminine waters and is mem dalid. That's the Rashi Tevis. Mayim duchvim, masculine waters mem nun. So you're going to see this again and again in more Kabbalistic or Hasidic way, which bring more.
I can understand
Kabbalah.
That part. The mayim nukvim, was the mayim nukvim and the mayim.
Well, one of the things with Kabbalah is you can't really comprehend it so seichel dick, even though there is a way to do it.
Duchurim.
It's actually. From what I understood from one Rav once explained, based on on Svarim, Shari Ora, like based on certain Kabbalah Svarim that he learned with us one time, or Drush Svarim, like the Shlach Kodesh, is when you're learning Kabbalah, it's a lot to do, or Panemius HaTorah, it's a lot to do with experience. Meaning, for some people, they are holding in Torah at such a deep level, they can, it's like they enter into the Pardes, they go into the Panemius through the Torah. But a lot of people like our kind of neshamas who've lived a lot in this world and done all kinds of things. So then our experience also has a lot of nitzotzos in. And in those nitzotzos of experience, we can relate to certain terminologies because of our actual hands-on experience.
Right.
It's like one of the concepts you can't really learn Kabbalah till you're 40. So one of the reasons is because you don't have Havana. You're not able to internalize and the Bina. But I would say it's also because you've had life experiences. And life experiences mean you can now relate to these concepts in an experiential way that it's not, the words don't do justice. It's a sort of intuitive, deeper soul level understanding that you just know that this fits this and this unifies with that, and right. it makes sense in the most intrinsic way. Because that's the thing, when you're learning Kabbalah, you're learning.
I like that it's about life experience.
Yeah.
Which explains why.
Balat Shiva have a special path into these kind of Torahs.
Well, general, I mean, our whole and generation.
Yeah,
that's our why generation. Like you hear a lot of the tzaddikim. When I say tzaddikim, I'm talking about like people like Shlomo, Moshe Weinberger, Yossi Zakatinsky, Joey Rosenfeld.
I just listened to Yossi Zakatinsky. He did our Torah Gimel. He did our Torah. I was listening to his explanations.
Oh, different. Yeah?
He's more Torah-dick.
He's
big time Chochem.
He's like Moshe Weinberger, and he's very rooted in the Tanya.
Torah. Yeah, but very rooted in Torah, Grar, and everything else.
Moshe Weinberger is a massive Talmud Chochem.
Yeah.
Yossi Zakatinsky made a Siyam HaShas, a real Siyam HaShas, when he was 20 years old.
Exactly. He's very
like
Torah.
Our generation is not a Pasha thing.
Not common, B'chlau. He's holding. He really is. And the most amazing thing about him is that he's connected to people like Weinberger, so then it all comes together with Panemius. It's like he's becoming just another Rosh Hashiva. Like, we've got a lot of Rosh Hashivas. We need someone to help Am Yisrael connect to the Panemius of Torah in a way that they can enjoy it and have simcha, like what's it called, Mevakshei Hashem or something.
Uh-huh.
It's like a certain style where they have siyumim and simchas, and there's a certain energy with the music, and it's not just
thank you Hashem
only learning, you know, which because some places that's all it becomes, and then it loses some of the crowd, you know, because once again we're dealing with neshamas who have experienced a lot, so we have to be real with who they are. When we're communicating Torah and principles, like one of the things I've really tried hard not to do, because I did it the other day to someone and he actually was okay about it, maybe because he's a kli for it. But I just started ranting off Chassidus, yeah? But if I do that in most settings, if I went Panei Akiva and started ranting off Chassidus, they'd all be asleep or on their phones, yeah?
Right.
It would be a complete waste of time for me and for them. Like, the generation, you have to talk experience. You have to almost be like ADHD.
Yeah.
Like, go from one thing to the next, one thing. Like, you're keeping up with a certain mind that's been built through, like, TikTok and other crap. Yeah, that you've got to, like, keep moving. And it means, like, your thought to the next thought to the next thought. Like, Joey Rosenfeld actually is very good at that. Like, he's a sort of our generation kind of mashpia, because he just goes from one thing to the next to the next to the next. Mm-hmm. Even though he's going through loads and loads of chassidus, but it's very deep and it's very experiential the way he's explaining it, because he's a psychologist or therapist or whatever he is. So he has a deep way of bringing it out. So too, when we're learning with like, Holy Svarim, like the Tanya, we have to realize that it's triggering certain, I mean, not even triggering, it's lighting up. I'd prefer to use a positive word. It's lighting up parts of our soul that we can suddenly resonate with this concept of Mayim Nukvim, Mayim Dukvim, and it's not like strange to us, because on a certain level we've experienced life. We're not like, you know, we haven't limited our experiences just to pure, like, sort of rationalistic learning. So it doesn't feel all woo-woo, like weird. You know, there are people, you have to know, that some people, when they hear some of these concepts, they start thinking woo-woo, yeah? Like, this is strange, esoteric. They use these academic words and don't relate to it.
Right.
Like, imagine Nebuch, you know, they don't relate to these Panemius words that's summing up the most important levels of the soul, like, and levels of Am Yisrael. There's such, forget about levels, just the giluim of this neshama. There's people who are walking over in this world and have in every generation, who are Bnei Aliyah, who have such an Avos Hashem and have such a Dveikus to bring a Yichud and all the world and all the different parts, that this is the Tabala Tanya, who was the Rav of Chassidus,
right,
giving over the explanation that we in 2024 can still learn it and understand it, at least on some level. So we can relate somewhat to this highest of high people, the Bnei Aliyah. He's bringing it down in words. He's doing such a... Because if you probably meet these people, be quite... Probably, unless they're able to relate, so they've done the avoda of becoming relatable, and maybe we don't even know who they are. But these Bnei Aliyah, they've figured out how to talk to our generation. But the Balat Tanya also, even in his time, has created a sefer that he can talk to our generation.
Yeah.
And all his chassidim, for all the doris. And it's getting us ready for the Orish HaMashiach. That was yesterday's shir.
Right. Are we ready for Mashiach?
They were getting the Mechazik the Amunah, that Hashem didn't leave us in Golis. He didn't forget about us. Yeah, there's a war, there's crazy stuff going on, but he's totally giving us this access to the fact. And that in itself is part of this point, that the Shekhinah, the Shekhinah Kadosh is entering everywhere.
Yeah.
That was the Chiddush, the Balatani, that when he said this concept that he did it, he didn't just talk about it like when he had a Makos with Pinchas Koretzer about should Chassidus be shared globally? Should it be something that everyone has access to? But Pinchas Koretzer said, no way.
It's about Tanya and Pinchas Koretzer.
Yeah, it's the deepest of deepest. You can't do that. It was a big Makos. And he gave a moshul of the king and his son and the king of the son. And the son was ill, which I suppose would be our generation, like in the last few hundred years of Am Yisrael, we're a bit ill from all this goddess. And we're dying on a certain level, and the king wants to save his son. So what is he? Someone gives him medicine, and it's emergency. It's the point where he's literally about to die, and the only thing that can save him is this medicine. He's going to just pour it as quick as he can. And the mouth of the king, or the prince's son, is not really open so good. So he's just pouring it in, and whatever gets in, gets in.
Mm-hmm.
So that's like the concept of chassidus. You've got to share it. Mina chutza, yeah? You've got to get these mayonas of chassidus out there, chutza, yeah? And push it out there. Futsala, you know, really push it out there, and then Mamela, a little drop of the medicine is going to get into the mouth of the prince and save his life. That little bit of chassidus, a little panemis, is going to give vitality back to the yid.
Right.
And that was his marshal that he said, and that was how he. And then he had all kinds of yeah. What's the pasuk again? It's famous from
futsa minus
sech. Yeah, futsa minus sech chutza. There we go. So the idea. I know I was getting mixed around the words.
I always get mixed up with the words. It's like a tongue tied.
Yeah, futsa minus chutza. Whatever. Yeah, what you said. So yeah. The idea is that the medicine's got to get in either way. It's thank God Chassidus pushed it so in our head. Eventually we get the words right.
The medicine makes the medicine.
Yeah, but that's the problem. Down. The sugar actually is really bad. That was a bad song because that was a lie. Sugar doesn't help nothing. Yeah, sugar's like, sugar. I didn't put sugar in my coffee anymore.
I don't put sugar in my coffee either. I only give it to my kids.
Sugar's, yeah, and then that's the problem. That's why then we have to deal with them being wild.
Yeah.
They're like drug addicts with the sugar. But the point is, before we get to the Rishoyim, before we get to the Rishoyim, we have to just like be real with the fact that the Siddiqim or B'nai Aliyah is Mu'hem, the very, very, very few of these level of these kind of souls in every generation. But there are, they exist. And the comfort, the Matara is that we are experiencing their work. They got the light out there. The Shekhinah is available. If we just sit and do what we're doing now, learn, internalize, daven on it, work on ourselves, we're becoming one with the Balatani, we're becoming one with the people who are B'nai Aliyah. We don't understand. We think like, you know, we're learning this. Probably the Balatani was one of these people, you know.
Right.
Like, if he could explain it, means he was holding there. It means he probably was doing this. Yeah.
Sure.
So we're connecting into a Tzaddik who was holding on these levels that he could explain it.
Right.
And therefore, probably him and his Rebbe, Rebbeim, were B'nai Aliyah. Or connected to the B'nai Aliyah, who and they themselves weren't Stama people. I don't think he was a B'nai Aliyah, the Balatani. I think he was a Tzaddik. Yeah.
Tonight I'm going to drive out Makkah tomorrow. Tonight I'm going to Tzfat.
Oh, Tzfat. You're going to be around Siddiqim up there. Shrecha.
Hashanah feels excited.
What time are you leaving? Have we still got able to learn?
I'm going
to
leave tonight. Tomorrow, otherwise my day is going to be killed.
Okay.
It's a 3-hour drive, I think.
Okay, good.
It's crazy. Man. It's so far. It feels like it's so close, you know? You're like, oh, it's Tzfat. It's just north a little bit.
So I don't think we're going to finish this parak in one day.
Just for Shabbos.
Maybe we will, actually. It's a short one. Let's go.
The 11th? Okay.
Let's go.
And that's it. Rabbi School in Hebrew.
Let's get rid of the Rishoyim.
I know. Mashachas Kedushas Elu.
Let's turn the Rishoyim into Sharim. The gates.
Lehiz Labesh V'tachtonim. Yes. Yes.
Yes.
All right, okay, and then for all the mitzvahs, everything has that.
Oh, and that's the other point. Very good. Bring it into the Torah mitzvahs. Bring it into the Torah mitzvahs. The end of the woo-woo stuff, the panemia stuff, goes, it's not woo-woo, it's MS, goes into Torah mitzvahs. It goes, it's one with Torah mitzvahs. It's not like separate sugya. People think Kabbalah is like its own thing. No, it's part of the Parah, it's the Garden of Torah. It's all Torah mitzvahs, it's all connected. It's just a deeper connection to the Torah mitzvahs. It's not like a separate thing. That's the mistake. Because you go in yeshiva and you get told like this, it's been part of the Torah. So you think it's like separate. Like, no, it's just a deeper entrance.
And he adds this little nuggish at the end, where he says, while it is true that any mitzvah produces this result, right, where we have the where we have the Mayan Duchnin coming down. Even an ordinary person is aware.
The male waters, yeah.
The spiritual result of his mitzvah, heavenly energies will be manifested. It probably won't be overwhelming. Meaning, all this sinyana, yeah. This happens to mitzvahs you and I do. The difference is that a tzaddik gomer, when he's doing an imamish, it's like the matrix, lahavdil. He sees the synergy and he feels it, and he's cracking through the codes, and he's like, I'm just ripping through dimensions, and he's you know, he's being makadosh all the iris, and he's the whole world is becoming a giant mikveh to him.
Right.
I'm making things up right now.
No, but I like it. You know what I'm saying? When you say stuff, it's good. He says, so this is still, again, part of the inner struggle, what we're learning. If back to bnaialiyah.com with the dash in the middle.
There's spheres.
Yeah, and then we before we get to Beinoni, which is chapter 12, chapter 11 is going to be the Russia. So we ended off, the Avodah Hashem is a level of Yaseh Tov, meaning that they are serving Hashem beyond any self-serving motive, even to the state, the thirst of their godly soul. That's the Tzaddikim, the Bnei Aliyah. That's the Tzaddik Gomor, Tzaddik She'ena Gomor. We did that. Now, the Rishayim. Yeah, we need to internalize those concepts. So everything needs to be reviewed, obviously. The two levels of Russia. So that's one of the reasons why we're recording. The two levels of Russia. Chapter 11. Mirror images of the Tzaddikim. Very good. Did you saw that somewhere, or you just thought of it? Thought about it. It's true.
About
it,
yeah.
Oh, okay. Sorry. No, inside. I was like, wow. He's like, just help with the summary.
and
because it's a mirror. We just did the complete tzaddik and the tzaddik who's not complete. Now we're going to do the wicked Tovla, guy who's Russia. complete wicked, like Machshamah Hitler, Machshamam, or the not so complete tzaddik, like probably most of humanity, yeah?
Yeah, mama.
In the best case. Does an not so complete wicked person, excuse me, does an occasional light aver it in one of the garments or thought, speech, or action, immediately regrets it and makes tshuva. So that's the Russia she'ena goma. That's probably most of us, probably the way it sounds. Like he does an occasional aver.
Yeah, I choose not to believe that.
Okay.
I feel like we're in between us.
Okay, that's a shame. In the worst scenario, the Rosh Hashanah Gomer would do more serious averias in all the garments more often, but would still experience regret and make tshuva. There's still that conscious that Machshamam tried to kill. There's still that consciousness that we have of humanity, that we have guilt, we feel bad.
We can't be Beninim, right? Beninim is someone who doesn't really do an avera.
Yeah, not at all.
I choose to believe that we're all Beninim.
Yeah, maybe the averias we do aren't Russia. Really averias, like in the world of Izbish or something.
Right.
The Russia really got the Shlomo Kalibach way of viewing Am Yisrael, that we're never really doing averis. The Rasha Gama, Rasha Veralo, no mention of the types of averis he commits, nor their frequency.
That's an important akuda also, is that I feel like this is the story of Rav Levi Yitzchak
Beditchava.
Yes, because the name of Tzadikim is that when we look at other people, and we say, he's not really being Michal Shabbos, he's probably, you know, who knows? They're probably saving someone's life right now. We just don't even know it. And when we treat someone like that, up in the Bezdin Shalmala, right, we then have that person, that lawyer comes to our defense and says, no, what do you mean? When Ellie was doing such and such, really, he wasn't doing that. He was really, how could you say that?
Yeah.
That's why I don't eat kosher.
That's
I'm saying. It's an important akuda within all this, too. It's always like...
Yeah.
That's why it's like Chassidus, I find you have to learn. You have to learn all the different elements. You have to learn Rabbi Nachman. You have to learn Tanya. You have to learn, like,
Rabbi Tzaddik,
the Ishbitz. Like, you have to learn all the different dimensions, and then it just, you pull it all together, and it's like one.
I'm learning Sasemis. It's been amazing. Nesiva Shalom. Yeah. Right. This movie is the right one.
I'm connected to the Nesiva Shalom. It's, I think, very, because the Nesiva Shalom, as you said, it was the only, like, Chassidish is safer that
quite
was allowed
Litvish
in a Litvish world. So I'm always like
association with that.
My association is like, oh, it's the only safer they allowed in, like,
so
yeshiva.
I'm learning it with someone who's not like that at all. It's not yeshivish at all. And it's been really enjoyable to learn it because it makes it very easy. It's easy access to very nice concepts.
Right.
And also Mordechai Finkelman is very good parish on it in America from Minas Israel. He's very good rather than giving over the Nesiva Shalom. He gives it over very well. Oh yeah? Yeah, it's his brother.
It's his brother, yeah.
Did a parish on the art scroll.
He does it, the art scroll, the books, he wrote like biographies.
Yeah, they're brothers.
They're brothers.
Anyway. But in a group of 10 Rishoyim Gemorim, the Shekhinah still dwells. You hear that? That's how it ends off the chapter. Isn't that unbelievable? So that the Rosh HaGomer has no respect. No respect. He doesn't have that also. But he has no regrets. Rahmanas, he has no guilt, no consciousness. The soul's not talking over there anymore. But in a group of 10 Rishoyim Gemorim of Yidin, the Shekhinah still dwells. He doesn't say Yidin here, but I'm adding that. That's where Chassidus really goes all the way.
So we're talking about Jewish people here. We're not talking about we're not talking about the Hamasniks.
No.
I don't think the Shekhinah rests in Hamas.
I just when I talk about it, I prefer to talk about the Machshamams than about Yidin this way. Because it's complicated to start describing Jews that way.
Redefine the word Russia.
Yeah.
I think Russia has become like a not a derogative term, but it's become more of like an insult. Like, oh, you're a Russia.
Yeah.
Really, Russia is like maybe if we define that word as like Russia, we also define Russia with evil.
Yeah.
And a lot of it is not necessarily evil. It can be just something other than evil.
Well, look, the B'nai Yisrael says to turn into Sharim, turn him into gates for opportunities gates, to grow, right. To come close to Hashem. Also, it's Ashirim, same as Ashirim.
Right.
There's a lot of Ashiris by the places where Rishoyim are hanging out. They tend to you know, look for where the shefer is, where the money is.
Right.
They have an intuition. And the key is to keep the shefer back to Kedusha. That's the whole challenge. It shouldn't end up by the wrong forces.
Richard Meyer, when we were with him last week or 2 weeks ago, last week, he told us an Indian from the Belzer Rebbe. That's because we were talking about how like the whole world, it's a ladder. You got to keep climbing, going up. And someone was like, well, what if I'm on the bottom of the ladder and I feel like I'm not going anywhere? And he's like, oh, it says that Hashem lowers the gates of Gehenna. If you feel like you're at the gates of Gehenna, Hashem lowers the actual gates. He brought it down from like a pasuk and the buzzer Rebbe timed it.
Yeah.
Like I used to say, like, okay, then you have to get yourself above the gates of Gehenna. The buzzer Rebbe was like, no. When you feel like you're at the gates of Gehenna and you want to move up and you can't, Hashem goes and he takes the gates of Gehenna and he lowers it.
Well, yeah, Rabbi Nachman so definitely
that you
did
have a
that.
Space above it.
And you see by Noam Elimelech, like he said he was Mamtik, the Heavenly Mashiach. And you see by Rav Leib Saras, bringing a lot of tzaddikim here to help us to deal with the Rishonim. The Leib Saras, when he went up to 120, he putted everyone from Gehenna that time.
Yeah.
So it says on his yacht side there's a certain cooling down of Gehenna. Just in his chus, Leib Saras.
Yeah.
So there definitely is a big hamtaka just by connecting tzaddikim. So we did, that's why it's good. He gave the refuah before the mach. Before we get to deal with the Rishoyim, we've got the refuah, the tzaddikim, to help us with the Rishoyim. The idea that such a tzaddik succeeded, complete transfer of evil animal soul to good and holiness. A tzaddik of the second category, that incomplete tzaddik, still has a tiny little bit of good. That's what we learned. So now we're going to go into the definition of the rank, the antithesis of the tzaddik, as we said, the mirror, that of the Rasha. In contrast to the tzaddik, whose divine soul overpowers animal soul, the rush one is animal soul overwhelms his divine soul, the opposite direction. The rank of the rush two is divided into general categories, a complete Russia or the Russia who is not completely evil, and the incomplete Russia, the Russia who possesses some good. The one who is completely only evil or the one who possesses some good. These categories are defined in the chapter. That's the complete is someone who possesses only evil and incomplete is possesses some good.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so we're going to have Rosh Sha'inu Goma, Rosh Sha'inu Goma.
Right.
Rosh Sha'inu Tovlo, Lu'umas, Sadik, Ralo. So we just learned about the Sadik Tov Ralo. Now we're learning about the Rosh Sha'inu Tovlo. So he still has good inside him. Tanu Shatov, Shabanasha, Lakish. Shabamoiko, Shabachalo, Hamini, Shabalibo. This means, and now we're hearing it on a previous level, that the good, that in the Rosh, divine soul, which is in his brain and the right part of his heart, it still exists. Even though the kofu batal agabe aram, a klipa shabachal smuli. Even though the left side of the heart, where the klipa and the nefesh bahamis is running the show, is not just running the show on the left side, but it's now mispashet into the right side and to the brain. That's like when you do something, it's like it's a ruach shtus, it arouses from the left side, goes into your right side with the blood or whatever it is, and it travels up to your brain and tricks you into doing all kinds of silliness. Yeah?
Right.
Zemis Chalek Gamkein the Rabbis Madregas. This too is divided into myriads of degrees. And once again, there's endless levels of how this manifests. So like there's endless souls of how souls get affected. Yeah. The difference between these myriad sublevels in the quantity, the extent, and the quality of the nullification, subject to the good to the evil, God forbid. So all these different levels, what divides is how nullified the good is to the evil. It's the other way around everything we just learned. Yeah, so these guys are doing a various, yeah?
Yesh mishah kfifa.
Once again, the idea of bittul shishim, but the other way around. So you have this light,
teeny bit.
Yeah, this nekudato, this neshama, like we learned about Zaman Echad Ba'odi from Rabbi Nachman.
Right. Yeah,
we've lowered the gates of whatever it was you said before.
Gehenim.
Yeah.
Oh, we don't say that?
I don't know. I don't want to go there.
Oh, lower the gates of Gehenim.
It's good. It's a good song. We can flip it around.
Let's higher the gates of Gan Eden. Yeah,
we have to lower the gates of Gan Eden also, make them so higher. It's easier for us to get there.
No, we want to elevate everyone up to that level.
But then we wouldn't be hiring the gates, we'd be hiring us.
Oh, that's true. Good point. Good dick. Yesh misha kfifa bitul etzlam at muzah. Or maybe not, maybe just have the gates very high of Gan Eden and the gates very low of the other way, and just party in the middle.
In the middle, baby.
Yeah,
that's what we're doing here.
Yeah. Yesh mi, so there is one in whom the subservience and bit or nullification of good to evil are exceedingly minor. Ma'at is, this is all like Aramaic, I think, based on the Zohar. Ma'at's mizah. Zohar is like a little, minor, yeah?
Right.
So it's a very small amount of good. Af gam zos, eina betamid. I mean, even his minor degrees are not permanent. Lo tadir leprakim krovim. No recurrent and frequent interviews. Ela le'itim, rechokim etzgabe ra la'tov, v'kovish etz'ir, v'katane hi aguf. Rather, only in frequent sense does the evil prevail over the good, conquering the small city, the bull, ach lo kulo ela miksas levar. Even if it does not conquer the body, yet not all of the body falls under dominion, but only part of it. Shia sa, mishmaso, v'nasilo, merakava. Subjecting it, the part of the body, to its discipline and causing it to be a chariot to evil. So it's not all the time. It's not like he's walking around being evil all day, yeah? He's got like different times where the evil's manifesting more because it's more dominant.
Right.
But it's not every day that it's dominant. It's a process, it's a journey.
And then he becomes like a chariot or a cover.
Rakevet's like bottle. It whatever the driver says, it does. Doesn't have any of its own
shlita. Right, we learned earlier the three levushim of the
Vekovish lislabish bo echa mishloisha levushe. Yeah, the three. No, the levushe is not just chachma binas. It's the machshava diba ma'aseh. That's the three clothing.
Right, it's your thought, speech, and action.
Yeah. Thought, speech, and action. These are the ways of levushe, unless it's talking about the midas, and it's more specific when it talks about that. When it says the shlosh levushe, it's the three clovings of the garments of the soul are the thought, speech,
action. Whenever they write the definition of la'el, they write mentioned so above.
Yeah.
And I wanted to be like, that might be what it means in sort of like...
Yeah, la'el means above.
Above, but like... That's not what it means in context. Like, why are you being like? It's always like this dafka that I was doing like el as above, you know. And it's like just right before,
aforementioned.
As aforementioned, that would be even better.
Better word, yeah.
So it's funny.
It says here as mentioned.
They're very makbid, very much these like the guys who do the English translations. They're super makbid. Like I remember at Rebbe and Yeshiva. Was so into dikduk.
Isn't that Shimon Finkelman you're referring to? Because he's very, very good writer.
I was like in sixth grade. I don't think I paid attention to a single thing he said.
Shame.
My head was like in the clouds.
I read a lot of his farm. He was very close to Zachariah Wallerstein.
He was like, I remember from all my rabbis, he was one of the holiest rabbis I had.
Yeah.
He was so.
Mordechai is holy as well.
He was so tamimistic.
Yeah.
He never yelled once.
Yeah, they have good midas.
I got yelled at all day. He never yelled at me. He always loved
Edel mention.
So Edel, so to me mistake, like he just wanted Hashem to teach her
different kind of souls, yeah. He was not a rough soul like me.
He was not rough around the edges, he was just...
Dahainu or b'mayas
levad. Still alive,
so he is. Hashem, yeah, he should be well. Namely, the animal soul prevail either indeed alone, lasso so various colors, and they do all kinds of small affairs, lor chamoras hasisholem, not major ones. Yeah, so the animal soul's running the show in action, and it's causing him to do minor transgressions. Not the big giant ones. He's not going doing a Vodazora or something.
Right.
Yeah, just, you know, bidi avid kind of stuff.
Whatever.
Or bidi avid levad, ledava avik, loshen hoira, letsanas, kahai gavna. Yeah, he's speaking a bit of loshen hoira about litvax, yeah?
Yeah.
Which actually my Rebbe does in front of the whole community again and again. So maybe he's muttered it. I don't know. Because if he does it, and he does it, he even says it to the Rosh Shivas themselves.
Used to say, it's not loshen hoira, Eli, if it's true.
No, here's the cut, he's trying to like break that klipa that's holding these guys back from experiencing the true depth of Torah themselves. So they want the Torah themselves.
It's not my place to say, but I will say.
They have Avos HaTorah, but they're just trying to get rid of that sort of stiffness that's holding back the light that it should shape throughout the whole of the... And look, he said, my Rebbe said this many times, the literature world has become a Hasidus. Why? They've all got Rebbes now. Yeah, they're no longer like how it was, the Misnagdim. They've all got they've just made their Rosh Shivas into Rebbes. So it's got to that point where it's no longer like it was. They all learned Tanya. Like Rav Moshe Shapiro, I walked in one time to Amshalom, and he was sitting there learning Chabad Svarim. Yeah, they all learned the Torah, the Chabad.
Yeah, and but Chassidus. You know, the official world anymore. Has made a lot of progress over the past 10, 15, 20 years, because I think they've seen that.
They need it.
When Rav Nachman came to the arena in the American world, I can just say, which was really, I was like an early teenager.
Yeah.
I was like maybe like an eighth, ninth. So this is like 20 years ago, maybe more. It's like 20, about 20 years ago. All the Litvisher Rabbanim at the time were like, this is Avodah Zarah.
Oh.
I remember even someone saying it, like, because they used to put up pamphlets about like, you know, spilling seed and all this stuff. Yeah. And if you spill seed, you're not the worst.
Yeah.
Everyone's like, anyone who talks like this is obviously... That was the thing. Anyone who talks about it, obviously, is doing it all the time. That was the response they said.
Chas v'shalom.
Which is like such a lashon hara.
It was literally saving people.
And at the time, yeshiva guys were just like... And nowadays, fast forward 20 years, the yeshiva guys in this world... I think... I don't remember who it was. I don't want to say it was Moshe Weinberger. But...
They're quoting it. They're
it was some sure. one of the tzaddikim of our time said, like, you really think that there's a single yeshiva bachar out there that has never spilled
seed?
Yeah,
there's big one mistake.
Are you guys insane?
Yeah.
Like, this is the problem of today. That plus
tikkun yesod is the main challenge.
Plus everything else that goes on with this little thing.
Yeah. Tikkun yesod.
And it's not even into this. It can be anywhere, you know? And
it's the before Mashiach comes, it's ticking yourself. For sure.
The darkness that overclouds people.
Yeah.
And the only thing that really brings most of these kids, I'm not going to say everyone, but most of these kids light, is the Torah of Rav Nachman.
Yeah. And also the Torah of Chabad, of doing ma'asim, getting busy. Going around doing
mitzvahim,
putting tefillin on people, being so busy with mitzvahs and shlichus, you don't have time for various. That was the Asi Tov of Chabad. The Asi Tov of Chabad, Asi Tov, was to keep doing mitzvahs. So then Memela, this little bit of bad in you, or the bad that's going on trying to control you, is so bottled to the constant good that you're doing, but you just swallow up the negative and nullify it, and you're just constantly doing and doing. And in a healthy way, in a Rotz and Hashem way, you know, the Chabadniks, you see, the C-teen and this, and that, all the big extravaganzas, they're changing the world.
I remember when
they're getting
all
these teenagers, thousands of kids to jump for Hashem in Times Square.
It's crazy.
And it's jumping for Hashem, and they got the Rebbe on the wall of Times Square, going, you know, doing his Ashrein and Matav Kenya, like doing his hand movements and getting everyone going. And the pictures of the Koso.
The summer songs that have the Rebbe's recordings.
The best. That song Zusha did with the Kal of a Rebbe. He was my Rebbe. The Kal of a Rebbe comes in. It's one of the first albums. They did a recording of Rebbe.
Oh, Rebbe, yeah. Oh,
and the Kal of a Rebbe. I was there when he was singing that. Every Sukkot, he'd go off into these songs, these sweet songs. He's from Yitzchak Isaac Kalava, the original, one of the original Rebbes, who was a big man that Bar Menachem. He has it inside of him. His voice was sweet. I used to shout at students. I used to go almost every week.
I love that song.
Or hear him sing Hallow. I had so many times with him. It was so special. My wife said her favorite Kabbalah Shabbos was by the Kal of a Rebbe. She always felt all the neshamas of the Shoah. He used to talk about stuff like that.
It's so clear.
We'll come and dance.
The Torah of the Baal Shem Tov is really what's going to bring Mashiach. I mean, even like we talk about the Tikkun in Medina, we're learning through Shlomo.
Yeah.
This is all the Torah of the Baal Shem Tov. Imagine.
But remember, the Vilna Gaon is also Kabbalist. They just sort of went into hiding. Now it's coming back out again. So you have people like Rav Yossi Zakatinsky, who's bringing back the Torah of the Litvaks, which is Kabbalah, which is also Panemius.
Well, Rav Yossi Zakatinsky is rooted in the Torah of the Baal Shem.
No, but it's also together with the Vilna Gaon. I'm telling you, but Morgenstern is more. Morgenstern's more learning probably Vilna Gaon. I don't know for sure,
they're
but
merging the worlds.
Yeah,
now. They're doing a tick-in.
Yeah, because there's so much Kabbalah in that world.
Right.
It just got sort of sidetracked because of whatever Chesnagdus or whatever.
Yeah.
But now it's coming back, and the Panemius, like you have the Mishkan Evner. He's not a Chassid. He's a Shivish Ponovitcher guy, but he's learning Panemius Torah. It's all coming back. The Ramchal was Panemius. He wasn't a chassid, but he was the chassid. He was a real chassid.
Tzvi Cheshen is the Rosh Hashanah in the mirror.
It's all these concepts, and that gets rid of the Lashon Hara. Once you get into Panemius, then there's no Lashon Hara because everyone's Davik to Hashem.
It's all Panemius.
Everyone's connected. That's the real solution. Yeah. Not just Shmiras Lashon, learning halachas. The biggest eights of a Shmiras Lashon is to fall in love with Am Yisrael, to bring out the Panemius of Am Yisrael, and then you don't have all this chitzonius viewpoints of Am Yisrael. Litzonus, making fun of people, Chasham Kai Gavna, or the Machshava Levad, Hiru Aveira, Kashim Aveira. In the thought alone, in contemplation of sin, which are in certain respects worse than actual sin. So the idea, like all a lot of the Netflix like movie kind of world, is a constant like teasing with your head of Aveira, like giving you these like overly dramatized how amazing Aveira scenes are. And there's no such thing. That's like, you know, my wife always says to me, like, anything you've ever seen from that world, that's like, don't live chai b'seret. She's very like grounded, my wife. Like, don't be chai b'seret. Like, this living in a movie.
Right.
This is not, the real life is not like the movies. Yeah. Shalom Bias is not to do with the movies. It's a much deeper inner thing than the way the movies portray the Aveiras and everything. This is a case when one does not actually contemplate committing sin, but merely indulge in contemplating the carnal union of male and female in general, which is what I was hinting at.
Right.
And then you're over on the warning of the Torah. Right. You should protect yourself from all kinds of evil. So you should, and how do you do that? What does he mean by evil here? Spilling seed. That's basically what he's saying. How do you not spill seed? Don't think about the carnal union of man and woman in the day. Don't be busy watching, you know, whatever that's out there online.
He defines that as a, you know, he's like giving us, the Baal HaTanya is also giving us he's giving us chizik. He's saying this is a minor sin. Or he's saying it's...
Well, no, he started off with more minor things like and then he goes, sort of escalates into the machshava reality, yeah? There was speech, but then there's machshava, and he's still not doing it, yeah? He's not Chas Shalom actually doing the Aveira.
Also, he's not tearing into people.
No, you're right. He's touching on it like Toradic.
Right.
In a Torah way, what the Torah says about it. He's not giving his own opinion.
Right.
Or she shas koshel asak b'Torah, in the evil which prevailed, the case of such partial Russia, when at the time fitting for Torah, he turns his heart to inane matters. Remember, the Baal Shem Tov was against all this Musa stuff. Like he wasn't into the whole, Rashis Chochmah, all the dark stuff of Rashis Chochmah. He wasn't into the birth of, what was it, fire and brimstone kind of talk. It was a whole switcheroo about building up Am Yisrael, from the basic, most pashta guy, building him into a tzaddik. Yeah, it was all about binyan, Klai Yisrael, not destroying, like breaking down. That was the previous times. The Musa, the whatever. They weren't even Musa. They were like these maggots. They used to go around like fire, like Yoshka style, like fire brimstone.
Right.
And they weren't Yoshka next Chas Shalom, but it had that sort of tam a little
like
bit.
Like the guys in Meir Shearim
old school
squirt people with.
They need to do tshuva. Those dudes. There's nothing to do with Yiddishkeit. I don't know what they're not listening to their das Torah or any siddiqim. Oh, shai shasa kosher asak the Torah. Or another edge, even my prefer such partial, my Rebbe screams against all that nonsense. When a time fitting for Torah study, that's one of the only things that gets him upset. There's a few things. When Yidden betray other Yidden with being most of them to the government, he hates it. He screams against Kanoim when they do this kind of massim, like Roem, where they do bad things to people. He certain things he, Marmish, goes. But he will talk about other stuff very calm. you know, in a healthy way. But that's like triggers him. Like in a, I'm sure he doesn't lose himself. He just gets right. he You see his disgust towards it.
Right.
Because it really is wrong. Like we're doing this Hashem Shemayim. No, you're not. Or shas kosher la'asek b'Torah. Or in the parsha when it's time for thinking, learning. Yeah. He mifane libo levatala. So we have an opportunity every day to learn this time. Yeah. And instead we start. I don't know. We start for bringing, yeah, like singing Nigunim, yeah, but this is not the time for Nigunim, it's time for learning, yeah. So you say, oh, the Nigun's going to help me learn. Okay, but not the whole hour. You, right. Like for 5 minutes at the beginning, like what Shlomo does, you sing a song, but then the rest of the time you're learning, yeah.
Right.
Because it's Tanan Ba'avos, Hanir, Belaila, Chulim, Mifene, Libo. As it stated in the Mishnah tractate over, he awakens at night when he has time to study Torah and turns his heart to vanity. I mean, this is a big time on us with our phones and stuff. Like we wake up at night. Yeah, did I wake up this morning and start opening up Masalat Sharm or something, or learn some Shas? I was busy, like, you know, doing social media and, you know, updating my this and that. Shem Shemenu. Well, one thing I always try and do is listen to Torah. Like, if I'm not doing it, learning it with a sefer, I'm always trying the background. Always having Torah playing, so I should be hearing something right. Torahic.
Or even just Jewish music that's saying words of Torah.
Yeah, so you're in that headspace. You have to use all the tools we've got nowadays. In any instances, he would be called a Rasha at that time. Because he could have been learning Torah and he wasn't. The term Rasha means the evil. Now he's going to explain this concept of Rasha. That the evil of the animal soul prevails. And clothing itself in his body, and is inducing him to sin, defiling it. We'll just do one more line, two more lines. Afterwards, the person has transgressed in the above mass. The good in his divine soul asserts itself, and he's filled remorse of his transgression. This is the point that makes him a Rasha in a Goma, that he has a conscience. He feels bad. His neshama wakes up and says, what are you doing? Yeah, I have a neshama, you have a godly spark. What are you doing? The Nefesh Elikus wakes up and said, what's going on here? Mevakish mechila v'slicha m'Hashem. He starts asking for forgiveness and pardon from Hashem. V'Hashem yishlach lo, forgive me for the bitter Torah I've created. Im shab b'tshuva haroi al pi etzis hachmeinu zechon and abrocha. You hear this? That's very important. That next the little point. And if he does tshuva according to what the sages say, then may their names be blessed, and the memory be blessed. V'shoy shachalki kapara, shi Rabbi Yishmael dorash v'chuli. And he's doing it in the three aspects of that the Rabbi Yishmael brings of kapara, three forms of kapara, as explained elsewhere, kamosha kosav mochamacher. So these are the three. What are the three? If one transgresses a positive precept, repents, he's pardoned at once. Yeah, straight away.
Yeah.
You do video straight away. If he transgresses a prohibitive commandment and repents the Day of Atonement together with his repentance atones. And the third one, because Day of Yom Kippurim is a kapara, Day of Kapara.
Yeah.
If he transgresses, carries the penalty of koris, yeah, like eating chametz on Pesach or eating on Yom Kippur, then after repentance, if he's a yid, he's all the time having to
do tshuva
and go through constant avoda and all these kind of efforts.
We have a lot of work to do.
Yeah, definitely.
We have a lot of klipas to kill.
Sure. And so these three levels.
Klipa slayer.
Yeah, klipa slayer. Keeper, clear, killer.
Klipa killer.
It's still there.
His cousin, the klipa slayer.
Yeah, he's another. You make another profile?
He has a cousin also.
He's got a whole team of these guys getting rid of the yitz.
Yeah, and sometimes
when
it gets bad, they bring in the
clip. Well, the good news is that we go through all these strings all the time. We're all the time hopefully doing Cheshbon and Nefesh. We have Yom Kippur, we have Purim, which is a positive way of Kapara.
Yeah.
And then we have coming up, Purim is the Avos Tshuva Bahava. And then we have the Yisurim of just living in a state of war that we've gone through. The fact that my son's been months, the Yisurim they've gone through, their body, what the body's gone through.
Physical, yeah.
The feet, the way their feet are so messed up. And
they're,
he said he had an hour shower, there was black coming off him the whole time. And that was the second shower he had already. The first one, he wasn't able to have such a long one. He had that when he came home. And he's Baruch Hashem, he's coming home. Hopefully, Mr. Hashem, you should have a beautiful Shabbos and Svat. You won't see my son Shabbos, but he's here for a whole week, so maybe even the Shabbos after. So you have the schus, we'll be for bring together.
I would love that. See ya.
Be blessed, have a beautiful trip, enjoy Shabbos. Okay. Gewalt. Shabbos ki sisa. Tshuva. Shlia Parsha. We're doing tshuva. Is that right? Tshuva Bava. Tshuva B'Simcha. Yimitzarachimim. Hashem Hashem. Kal Rachim. Mechanan Erech Apayim. Rav Chesiv Emes. We're doing tshuva. I want you to be blessed to do tshuva Shlema. And we'll be going into the Beinonim once we've gone through the Sugya, the Rasha. I suppose we're going to have to carry on next week. V'Yachal. We've only got one more page of this chapter. It's going to be it's interesting. It's short on the Perek of the Rasha. We can't say. Doesn't want to dwell on it, I suppose. This whole thing with Chassidus, focusing on the good. Asay Tov. Yeah. Zekazin. Freilich and Tamid.